Hello, and welcome to episode 93 of the Convenient Counselor podcast. My name is Brianna Leach. I'm a wife, a mom of three, and a licensed counselor. And this week, my self-care has looked like taking lots of naps and extra lozenges as we fought off sickness. And I hope that you're taking really good care of yourself this week as well. The goal of this podcast is to create a safe space for you to learn more about yourself and to learn about mental health topics on your time. I always say this is no substitute for actual therapy, but I hope it can be a good supplement and something you can apply to your week ahead. I apologize in advance for my voice. I sound worse than I feel. We are on the up and up, but we have battled sickness in our house the last week. But I had enough energy and momentum to record this episode, so I wanted to answer a couple of your questions. Thank you to those of you who submitted questions. I chose two that really stood out to me and I hope can be helpful or useful to you as well. Even if you're not in the exact same situation or scenario, maybe there's something for you in these questions and answers today. I value your time and mine, so I'm going to jump right in. Our first question is about boundaries, whether they meant to or not. It says, how do I stop saying yes to everything that is asked of me? I'm a recovering people pleaser, but I still struggle. What a great question. And what a great admission at the end of that. I'm a recovering people pleaser. Okay, the awareness is there. That was going to be my first step. Awareness makes you awesome. Knowing that you're a people pleaser or a recovering one is step one. I realize I say yes because I want to make people happy. Okay, but now how do you practice saying no more often? Or how do you better understand this desire or need to say yes all the time? It's pretty clear that the person who asked this question knows that saying yes all the time is a problem, and that they are continuing to recover from being a people pleaser. My response would be, you know that this is a part of your personality. Let's celebrate the fact that you enjoy helping others. You are a naturally giving and serving person. That's not a bad thing. But when it affects your mental health, when it affects your overall health, or when you say yes when you just don't want to, that can be an issue. So you already have awareness. But next up is, why do you keep saying yes? You don't have to. As my therapist would say, your ability to respond does not make something your responsibility. Just because you're able to respond doesn't mean it's your responsibility. Sometimes we take on a lot more because we think, well, if not me, then who's going to do it? Or surely no one will do it as well as I do. Or we feel guilty if we don't say yes because you're afraid someone else won't do it. When in reality, someone else will probably step up. Or if it doesn't happen, that's okay as well. So you know that this is your tendency. You know that just because you can doesn't mean you should. But what's the fear? What's the fear in saying no? That's usually where the hesitancy comes from. I'm afraid if I say no, then blank. You fill in that blank. If I say no, then they won't be my friend. If I say no, then I'll come across as lazy. If I say no, then I'll be seen as incompetent. Whatever your fill in the blank is, that's where the hesitancy comes from. Instead of, if I'm saying yes to this, I'm saying no to something else that might actually be more important to me. You have to weigh out those inner conversations. But then the practical side is, okay, I'm ready to say no more often. How do I stop saying yes? That's what this person is asking. And in those cases, when you are presented with multiple requests, or you are someone who is desired to be a part of a team or a project, you need to have response phrases locked and loaded, ready to go, so that you can respond quickly without giving yourself too much pause and your default is just saying yes. For example, just be honest. Say, I'm trying to actually practice more boundaries in my life. I'm trying to create more margin in my schedule, and I'm not going to be able to take that on right now. Be honest. I think it's refreshing when I hear other people say, you know what, I'm really trying to take care of myself right now. I tend to overcommit, so let me think on that. Or just say, I'm going to have to pass for now. Another one might be just that. Thank you for thinking of me, but at this time, I don't have the time in my schedule. You don't have to be rude, because the person asking you clearly thinks highly enough of you to be a part of it or to take on that responsibility. You can compliment them saying, that sounds like an amazing opportunity. I'm sorry it won't work for me in this season. It's okay to make it temporary. A no for now doesn't mean a no forever. But in case you need the reminder, no is a complete sentence. You don't have to give someone a reason. You don't have to give someone the inner workings of the conversation and dialogue that you've worked out in your mind. You can just say no, or no thank you, if you want to be a little kinder. I hope that answers that first question. I'm proud of you for being aware that you're a recovering people pleaser. You've presented that the struggle is saying yes to everything, and how do I say no more often? Remind yourself that the ability to respond does not make something your responsibility. Find out what the fear is, and then have those response phrases ready to go, and you'll do great. Switching gears, the second question today has to do with parenting, but really at the heart of it has to do with connecting with people that we love. Here's the question. We are entering a new season with a preteen that is both enjoyable and scary at the same time. I can feel him pulling away, and we used to be so close. How do I stay connected with my son while not smothering him at the same time? Wow, this question hits so close to home for me. I don't know if 10 is technically preteen, but my son is 10 and I feel every word of this. They get older. It's both exciting and scary and uncharted territory. But what I hear from this question, I'm not sure if this was from a mom or a dad, but what I hear is the care and love that is already just oozing out of this question. You're enjoying parenting this preteen. You're also trying to figure it out and navigate. You're fully invested. To feel someone pulling away means that they were close, that the connection's there. So all of those are positives just coming out of the question. And then on the next part of how do we stay close without smothering? Again, lots of consideration there and kindness coming from this person, because I don't want to smother, but I want to stay connected. Which applies not only in parenting, but also in friendship as well. But in this case, with a preteen, oh man, middle school years, I just think about some of the clients I had early on who were full of eye rolls and huff and puff. The thing is, when someone can fully express themselves in front of you, that means they feel safe. If you feel like you're dealing with a robot, they probably feel like they cannot fully express themselves. So oftentimes, it's painted as disrespect when a child either questions something that a parent is telling them or they really show their emotions, wear them on their sleeves. And I see that as such a healthy bond and attachment with the caregiver because they feel safe enough to express. Think of situations in your life where you cannot fully be yourself, when you cannot fully share your emotions. Are those moments in environments where you feel safe? Or you have to perform a certain way. So when you have a child or a family member that is pushing back a little bit, especially during the preteen and teen years, that's okay. It's good. Try not to take it personally. That's the biggest thing I tell parents of teens. And I keep telling myself, even parents of toddlers, don't take it personally. They are testing limits. They want to know that you're a safe place to land, and they need you to be their calm in the chaotic world that they live in. So to this parent who submitted the question, I would say you're already doing a great job because you have a connection. That's a strong foundation to build on. Practically, what you can do is create some routines or predictable times that you connect with your child. Mornings and bedtimes are usually the easiest places to start. If they're usually pretty easy to go in the morning, maybe you have breakfast together and just say, hey, what's on your schedule for today? What's something you're looking forward to today? Yes, it will be like pulling teeth at first, but when you create this habit, I can tell you time and time again, teens that I've worked with, they want that in their lives. They want an engaged adult asking them questions, even if they eye roll, even if they give you one word answers, it will grow. Maybe they're not a morning person and nighttime would be better. Before they go to bed, I know they're a preteen or a teenager. They want to be tucked in. They want someone to check on them. Nighttime before you fall asleep is when you're thinking about everything that's on your mind, the day, and to have a trusted adult be there to just say, hey, do you have anything you want to talk about or any questions you have? Maybe you can do a high-low. What was the best part of your day? What was the worst part of your day? Or we do high-low buffalo. What else is something random that's a buffalo? Create a small routine or structured time that you know, hey, this is our 5 minutes and it's always here. If you want to ask me questions, just know I'm here to check in on you. I love you. And the biggest key of any communication with preteens and teens in this season, especially, no judgment. You are able to come to me without fear of consequences, without me going into fixer mode. I'm just here to listen. Receive any communication in a non-judgmental tone. Try not to react to the things that you hear. But the key is that it's a predictable routine or time of day. So they know, okay, you know what? I have a question. When we do our check-in before bed, this is when I can ask it. It also shows that you're prioritizing your relationship with them. When they're in a season that friendships come and go, you know, something on social media happens and a friend group leaves, their world is very chaotic and you can be their calm. And also, on the other side of this question is, you are entering a new season of parenthood and you haven't maybe adjusted to it yet. We're all learning as we go as parents, but you have to take a step back and realize, I don't need to be fully equipped and prepared for this. I'm trying to learn as I go and give myself lots of grace. Because just as they are growing into their bodies and into their hormones and figuring out who they are, you are too. And you can relate on that level. Say, hey, I have a lot of changes happening in my life too. Let's figure this out together. The more you can be real and flawed and honest with your teen and preteen, the stronger connection you're going to have. Because they realize, I can be real with my parents and I'm accepted for who I am. I hope it goes without saying that this does not mean you dismiss poor behavior or actions that require consequences. I'm not saying any of that. But what I am saying is the emotional connection that's created by having routines and non-judgmental responses from authority is very powerful. So that's what I encourage. That's all for this round of questions for a counselor, but you can always submit questions to me at convenientcounselor.com or on social media at convenientcounselor on Instagram and Facebook. And I will compile them and set them aside till the next round. But thank you for those of you who have submitted questions. I hope this input, both as a mom and as a counselor, has been helpful today. I hope everyone has a wonderful week ahead. Stay safe and healthy. You've got this, and I'm cheering you on. Bye for now.